In the chief time of Charles, the chosen chieftain, there fell and fairly full flan within the fellis wade, where empress and earless and other many ane turned fro St. Thomas before the Yule tide. Yes, this is. Is it funny? The special Yuletide edition and the last one of 2020, so don't get your hopes up if you're even listening. And for this, I thought I would dip back into the Middle Ages for the tale of Ralph Collier, the tale of Ralph the Collier. And a collier in this time is not a miner who goes down in a mine, but somebody who makes charcoal. If you've read Ridley Walker, you may know a little bit more about this, or one of the short stories by Susanna Clarke, which deals with a collier in the Middle Ages as well. Fun stuff. I chose this story because, of course, it takes place at this time of year, and because it's one that I've been working on for a little while now, and is just such a delight. There's only one copy of it in existence. Well, there are lots of editions of it now, but the original tale is only in a printed copy from the 16th century. And although it is medieval and medieval Scots. So, of course, this is the direction I have been turning in recent years for obvious reasons. It's a lot of fun and it's a very enjoyable story. And unlike most medieval stories, the peasant in it, the collier in the title, is not entirely a figure of fun. You know, Chaucer has a lot of very funny peasants, but they usually end up being, you know, ignorant and sort of the butt of the joke. This is a unique story in many ways because, well, one of the things I always emphasize to students is the way that fate is fixed in the Middle Ages. And there's a reference to this in the story. And yet this is a story that really sort of circumvents that idea. I often show The Knight's Tale, which surprises people in my medieval classes, because so much of it is really interesting about making parallels between modernity and the Middle Ages and sort of showing how this thing is like this other thing. For example, the tournaments, how they're like modern sport events. And so they just kind of make it like it's a football match and people are painting their faces in colors and so on and carrying banners and whatnot for their team, which in this case is just a knight. And a lot of obvious and very funny anachronisms in it. But the thing I always emphasize to students is the most unmedieval thing about it is this idea that you can change your stars, because of course that was not what people believed. Except in the case of Ralph Collier, where the peasant is raised up. There's this very common motif of a king meeting a peasant, which shows up in a lot of different story versions. People who study folklore will be very familiar with this. But what generally happens is there is a reward at the end, and sometimes the children of this peasant might be raised up to nobility. A son might become a knight, a daughter might be married off to somebody of the noble classes. But Ralph succeeds on his own and doesn't look back. And he is, again, sort of the lowest of the low as a collier, because what it takes to be a collier is making charcoal. And if you don't know anything about how charcoal used to be made, it's a very long, tedious, and time-consuming process that you have to burn slowly and very carefully wood until it becomes charcoal, which can then be sold as fuel for other people. So they get the easy part, which is throw the charcoal on and it burns nicely and warmly for a while. But it's a very time-consuming process. You have to sort of sit there and monitor it all the time. You have to keep your eye on it so it doesn't burn too fast or the fire doesn't go out. And also that it tends to sort of cover you with a lot of charcoal dust, which in medieval romances is often used. And again, romance in the Middle Ages meant adventure. Medieval romances, the hero would often disguise himself as a collier and just kind of, you know, again, sort of calling on issues of race here, black his face up. And so be in disguise when he could go and then meet with his enemy and fool him. All right, I'm already 5 minutes in, and I haven't even got to the story yet. And this was my plan was this would be a quick, short little thing that I can just talk a little bit about. So let me just get to the story. Ralph Collier. And as the opening lines show, this is an alliterative tale. So sometimes to the extent of trying to be a little bit funny about how it sounds. But what happens is it opens just before Yule, and the king, of course, Charlemagne, the important king at the time. And you'll notice that Scotland has a lot more interesting parallels and connections to France, even in the Middle Ages, than to England. So King Charles, Charlemagne, is out with his nobles and in honor of St. Thomas. And a great storm comes up. They get parted in the wind and the rain and the storms. And the descriptions of the countryside sound very much like Scotland and not like the land outside Paris where it's supposed to be taking place. And Charles meets up with his collier and, of course, a king on his own without his entourage will always disguise his identity just in case. He doesn't want to run into trouble. He doesn't want to be ransomed for a large amount of money, which often happens. So he says he's Wyman of the Wardrobe, and this collier offers him hospitality, and apparently he's a very good collier. Well, we find out one of the reasons that he's a little wealthier than the average collier when it comes to dinner. But he invites Charles back to his house and is very flattered at playing the host to this obviously wealthy guy. I mean, in the Middle Ages, you can tell anybody by their clothes. You may not know their name, but you can tell what they are, who they are. And they're in fact very rigid sumptuary laws that said things you could not wear if you were not of a proper station or class to wear them. So he knows this guy is rich and Wyman of the Wardrobe. So he says, he takes him at his word. But when he comes into the house, Charles, in accustomed to being king, stands aside to let the collier go in first. And he's like, takes him by the neck and says, you know, this is my home. I am the host. You go first. So he's a little irritated. And the king, of course, is a little like, ooh, this is very strange. He's not used to being treated this way. And so they go inside. The wife makes sure that everything is ready and they're going to be, you know, warm by the fire, and they get wine out, and she makes sure to prepare a big feast of, you know, everything they've got pretty much. And so finally it comes time to go into the hall to have dinner. And once again, Charlemagne sort of steps back and says, oh, after you. And this is one of the funniest parts. He clips him around the ear so hard that he staggers halfway across the hall. The poet is very specific about that amount, which is kind of funny. And he's shocked. He's really shocked by this treatment. But they go in and they have dinner. And Ralph not only says, you know, hopefully you enjoy this fabulous spread that I've put before you. And the king is pretty impressed. And he says, in fact, you know, it's kind of interesting that you have all this venison. And it's like, yeah, you know, I'm always told, you know, that I'll be caught for poaching the king's deer. But, you know, way out here, who's going to care? And so he has a very nice evening. And again, he tells him, yes, I'm Wyman of the Wardrobe. And if you should come to Paris and sell your coal, and I'll make sure you get double the price. And so Ralph, of course, is, you know, excited about this idea. And his wife is kind of, I don't know. So in the morning, the king goes back to Paris and everybody, you know, is there to greet him, including Sir Roland, who is his chief knight and, of course, is much famed of story and song himself. And so the king tells his adventures. He's like, well, I was out in the wilds in the storm and I got lost and all these things. And he says to Roland, he's like, now the next day, which of course is Christmas, he says, Roland, you go out and you wait at the gates until you meet this collier and make sure that you greet him and bring him to me. So Roland, who's, you know, a bit peeved having to spend Christmas morning waiting around the gates of the city, finally sees this guy ride up. And of course, he's, you know, dressed in just sort of drab, regular clothes. And he has an old buckler and a rusty sword, but it's Ralph. He decided he was going to go, even though his wife was kind of like, well, I don't really think you should do this. I don't think this is a good idea. And he tells her, and this is one of these beautiful phrases, he said, let me work as I will, the weird is mine own. Weird fate. The fate is my own, and I'll just have to deal with it. So he meets Roland at the gate, and Roland's like, I have to take you to the king. And Ralph is, no, I have this deal. I've got to meet this guy, Wyman of the Wardrobe. Of course, not knowing they're the same person. And he refuses. And Roland is just kind of upset, surprised, unable to know quite what he should do. And Ralph says, you know, I've had enough of this. And it's like, I have something to do, but tomorrow we meet here and we fight. And Roland's like, okay, whatever. And he goes back to the king and he's just kind of, you know, irritated and annoyed. And he knows the king's going to be upset too. But the king is kind of like, aha, I think that's Ralph. And so by slower stages, Ralph makes his way to the court and he you know, sort of pushing his way through the crowds, literally pushing his way through the crowds because there's so many people in the court on Christmas Day. Eventually sort of fights his way to the front and he sees Wyman of the Wardrobe. And he sees where he is. And again, seating in a medieval hall, mead hall, or castle is important. You know who people are by where they sit. And he realizes this is the king. And he's kind of shocked. And the king sees him. And Charlemagne is like, everybody, this is the man who gave me harbory, you know, safe harbor last night. This is the man who took me in and, you know, made me at home in his own way. And so he tells this story about what had happened and how he was taught his manners. And he says, well, what do you think I should do? And the nobles are all like, string him up. You know, he deserves to die. He's a terrible man. And Charlemagne's looking at them. And Ralph, of course, is like, uh-oh, what's going to happen to me? And he says, no, I'm not going to kill him. He behaved like a man who is head of his castle, home in his home. And so I'm going to reward him. And so I'm going to give him all these wonderful gifts, and I'm going to make him a knight, and everything's going to be great. So Ralph really can't quite believe this. He wakes up the next day. He's, you know, staying in the court with the king and he's got all these great clothes. And then he remembers, oh, I've got an appointment. And so he goes back out to the gates of the city now with all his new stuff and much better equipped to meet Roland. Well, the story's not over yet because what happens is he meets another knight at the gate. And now this other knight is riding a camel. And you would think that he would be able to tell the difference between a camel and a horse. However, what's interesting is that the writer uses the Gaelic word for horse in the poem, which is capel. And so capel and camel, I think he might be making a joke there. There's a lot of humor in this story. But in any case, he sees this knight ride up and he immediately says, aha, so we are here to fight. Let us fight. And so they fight away. I believe they kill their mounts under each other. And they're fighting. And then Roland rides up. Because, of course, this is not Roland that he's been fighting. And Ralph is just kind of irritated. Because he's like, wait, we agreed to meet in single combat. And who's this riding up? And, you know, I thought you were, you know, somebody with a little integrity. And then, of course, it's like, I'm not Roland. I'm Roland. And Roland says, that's not me. That's not, you know, this is a Saracen. And again, a word that is now very offensive, but it was just meaning that it was a Moorish knight. Now, what a Moorish knight is doing outside of Paris, who knows? But they have to kind of meet over this to sort of figure out what's going on. And because it's a Christmas story, we sort of end the violence. And there's a lot of very interesting and funny plays that are set around Christmas with St. George killing a dragon and Father Christmas showing up too. And usually always to a soldier from the Middle East who's fighting with them. So what happens instead of them ganging up and killing this Saracen, as he's called, is they convince him that he should convert to Christianity. And they They do it by saying, well, you know, if you convert to Christianity, the king will give you riches and he'll give you a beautiful wife and everything will be, you know, so much better for you. And he does convert, but not because he gets riches or not because he gets a beautiful wife, but because it gives him the impression that this God is so much better than his own that he will convert. You know, it's the time of year that we get a lot of this kind of thing. But in addition to this, what happens is Ralph is also made Marshal of France. So not just raised up to become a knight, but also Marshal of France, given a very important commission. And the first act that Ralph does after receiving this honor is going back home, of course, to go fetch his wife, because they're going to live in Paris now, but also to have constructed on this meeting place where he met the king in the midst of this wild weather, to have a chapel built to honor this moment and to also make sure that if there is anybody in need, that they will have a safe harbor. They will have a safe place to be in the middle of the wildness. So it's a very charming medieval story and quite different from any other story that I can think of in the Middle Ages. And of course, I'm going to be interested in a story where the peasant isn't the butt of the joke, but is the one who wins kind of in the end. So quite an interesting little tale. So hopefully this time of year is being good to you and you can get a little rest. We're between semesters at the end of a quite awful semester. So I'm going to give myself a rest and see you next year.